How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So yesterday's game was kind of like a football score. We're going to try to have a little bit of amnesia and forget it, but it's going to be a little bit of an interesting topic today as we go through how the Yankees have been a bit exposed. Our weaknesses are on full display. Teams are capitalizing. They're stealing bags. They're beating up our bullpen. Our infield is shredded like a Chipotle chicken bowl. I don't really know what to do in terms of solving everything. But the Yankees have to try, and the Yankees have to make improvements. And listen, Brian Cashman, there's going to be some moves made at the deadline, right? We know this. Fast forward a month from now, you know, All-Star break gives us a nice little week to get some reinforcements, get a little bit healthier. But yesterday was a really tough performance for Luis Gil and for this bullpen. Why? The bullpen was already taxed, and Gil obviously got knocked out in the first inning or second inning with, what, 7 earned runs he gave up. That was the worst timing possible. The Orioles kind of broke our backs in that one because we needed to have a good performance. We needed to get a good 6-7 innings out of him, and he couldn't even get out of the second there. So I do think right now this team is in dire need of support. This team is in dire need of help. They optioned Ron Marinaccio. They used his last minor league option to get him back to AAA. That's not ideal. I mean, the next time around, he's going to get outrighted, and we'll see. Another team probably picks him up if they don't keep him on the major league roster. So, you know, at the moment, I feel as though the Yankees are in a situation where we need help now. They're bringing up some guys. You know, injuries are taking hold. Ian Hamilton's off is now on the injured list. Cody Poteet's on the injured list. Clark Schmidt's on the injured list. I already said him. Gleyber Torres, Anthony Rizzo, John Birdie. This team is absolutely in disarray in terms of the injury front. The bug is hitting early this year. But I'll say this, the silver lining, it's happening in June, not in September. You know, that's the only thing I'll say is it could happen again in September. I don't know. But usually this kind of stuff happens to the Yankees in the second half of the year, and it completely throws our entire season down the gutter as we head into the postseason. At least we're getting ahead of these issues now, and we know what our weaknesses are. Usually it's too late, and suddenly we're like sitting there like, oh my God, we have a massive weakness at this position, and we have nobody to play it. Cashman knows Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, as long as you have those two guys, and Gerrit Cole, as long as those guys are healthy, we have a chance to win a championship. He's got to do what's necessary to improve this roster. We're going to talk about kind of what the steps could look like towards making those improvements, Ryan. We'll start with the infield, because right now we're seeing Ben Rice step into a situation where he's looked pretty good. He's swinging the bat well. His first base defense looks fine for the most part. The more reps and experience he gets, the better, in my opinion. Even against left-handed pitching, send him out there. I mean, the Yankees don't really have a choice anymore with Gleyber Torres going down, but you got to just keep giving him reps. I think this kid's going to be really good. He needs some experience against major league pitching, and I think he'll get better. He's starting to get kind of his sea legs as we have some more games. Of course, this Braves series will be tough. Of course, they don't have Acuna, but they do have Marcell Ozuna, some really, really good players. It will be difficult, Ryan, but you know, what do you think right now about this infield? I imagine you're just as concerned as I am and everybody else. How do we make improvements moving forward?
Yeah, so I'm gonna, you know, we talked about this with Rizzo when Rizzo was here and healthy and active on the roster, and you know, we could sit here and talk about, well, he wasn't hitting, had like an 8-something WRC plus, which it's not good. Like, this isn't like a pardoning of that performance and saying, it's not that bad. But like, there's another infielder on this roster who isn't hitting and had the same WRC plus seeded last year. DJ LeMayo is a 51 WRC plus. He has 0 extra base hits in his last 18 games. 19 if you go back to last year, but that feels like a little bit like unnecessary to go to. He's a worm killer, right? Like, he hits the ball into the ground. He's super slow. He hurts. He murders rallies for the Yankees. He had a negative 0.34 win probability added last year, which means, yes, he had a 101 WRC plus, but he actually negatively impacted the Yankees' chances of winning last year. This year has a negative 0.70. Now, win probability added is a cumulative stat. So the more you play, the more it'll go either in the negative department or the positive department. He's already at negative 0.70. Like, that's really bad for a guy who's played 18 games. Like, this is a guy who is basically the most, he's been one of the most detrimental hitters on the Yankees. Let me actually fact check this. Yes, he has been the most detrimental hitter towards winning, accounting for volume, on the New York Yankees. He's played 18 games, and he has been the biggest detriment, the biggest, like, if you wanted to subtract winning value from the Yankees, he is number one offensively. Number one, the guy. I know he plays great defense, but does this not just feel like Josh Donaldson? Let me give you guys a little bit of a, let's use some data here. Josh Donaldson with the Yankees from 2022 to 2023 had 28 home runs, right? A 1.9 F4. And I mean, let's pull this up now. I'm sorry, the WRC plus is 93 WRC plus, right? So, you know, 7% worse than league average. The WAR is positive because of the defense. Over the last 2 years, and this is a relatively similar sample size because Donaldson didn't play a lot last year because he was hurt and ineffective, DJ LeMahieu has a 1.3 WAR. DJ LeMahieu also has a 96 WRC+, and he doesn't hit for any power. So he's 3% better than Josh Donaldson was when we were talking about he has to be DFA'd. He was released at that point. What is the difference between Josh Donaldson and DJ LeMahieu at this point in their, like right now in DJ LeMahieu's career? It's nothing, right? Like, he isn't good enough anymore. So, Alex, I think you and I can agree at this point, they need infield help. Like, Gleyber isn't hitting. He's dealing with right groin tightness. Apparently isn't anything major. You know, you wrote about this morning, and we talked about this before the podcast. John Birdie is severely missed, which is a sentence I never thought I would say, considering that, you know, you don't consider him, like, a key part of the organization. But, dude, they need infield depth. They do. Like, this deadline, they should get two infielders. I mean, I don't think LeMahieu's a starting caliber player at the major league level anymore. I look at him the same way as I looked at Donaldson last summer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the sample size is small, and I know a lot of people are like, you know, give DJ some time to kind of get better. Here's the thing. The Yankees don't have a choice but to give him more time because we don't have anybody else right now. Who are you going to call up? Oswald Peraza? Go look at his AAA numbers. It's not good. Peraza's value, and for what it's worth, Ryan, we were begging them to trade Peraza last year and to go get some support. I mean, they have nuked this man's value. Same thing with Everson Pereira, by the way. They had ripe opportunities to move these guys to get something back in return, and now neither of them have any value. So it's really disappointing. Sometimes they prospect hug with the wrong prospects. I get doing with Volpe, get doing with Dominguez, get doing with Spencer Jones. They have legitimate, like, generational upside. Those other guys have always had, like, a couple of good attributes. Like, Peraza's offense is always going to be a little bit problematic. His defense is obviously, like, gold glove caliber. But now he's added multiple injuries. Now he's injury prone. Now he can't hit. Like, it's just, it's really horrible to see the direction some of these guys have gone. DJ LeMahieu has to keep killing worms. Why? Because the Yankees don't have anybody else. So God help those worms. But I'll tell you what, if you're the Yankees and you're looking at the trade deadline, you know, where do you look? You need a third baseman? There's not that many out there. Ryan McMahon? Cross him off the list. The Rockies aren't trading him, despite how bad the Rockies are, and despite the fact that McMahon is having his best season ever, is having career-high numbers. They still don't want to move this guy. This, if there was any time to move a player, it's because he's in his best year in a 10-year sample size that suggests he's a below-average hitter, and he's having an above-average year. Now's the time to capitalize. If they were smart, they'd get the value back. Guaranteed next year he regresses back to the mean. So Rocky's doing Rocky things over there, being stupid. And, you know, the Yankees, unfortunately, are sitting here like, what do you do now? Candelario, horrible infielder. He's a horrible defensive player, decent offensive player, but you can't trust him defensively. So, you know, what do you do at third base? Nobody really freaking knows. I'd rather John Birdie be playing over DJ LeMahieu at this point. Birdie was hitting 271 with a 322 OBP. He's not a bad player. Really good defender, too, and he's got top percentile sprint speed. So he can help you on the base paths, especially as if he gets on base batting ninth. You got Volpe, Judge, and Juan Soto right up to bat after that. So, you know, that's a good situation to have with someone with that type of speed. Him getting hurt really actually hurt us more than we can imagine, which I didn't, like you said, didn't think I was going to be saying that on June 21st. John Birdie's loss was significant. It was a really nice trade at the time. I didn't really realize it at that moment, but now I'm like, damn, I wish we had this guy. So unfortunate for the Yankees, but nonetheless, we look forward to the options. Is there anyone that stands out to you that could be an option at third base? I actually like Ben Rice playing first base. I don't necessarily want to go out and get a first baseman unless it's a game breaker, a game changer. You know, Rizzo has a club option at $20 million next year. Sayonara. Can't pick that up. He's got to go. I hate to say it. I wish he was playing really well, but he is washed. He is not a good player anymore, at least capable of earning that type of salary. And he's a great clubhouse dude. Look, love Rizzo, storied career, awesome dude, love him to death, just not a great player anymore. It's as simple as that, and it sucks to say. But it is, now he has a fractured right arm. Like, it's just nothing's going right for him this year. So that club option, got to take that $20 million and apply it to Juan Soto's extension. That's where the money's going to go. And unfortunately, it's just the reality. Same with Gleyber Torres, who's having a down year. Honestly, Is there a world where we see Gleyber Torres sign a one-year deal with the Yankees next year after coming off this type of season? Do you still think he gets a reasonable bag? Or do you think he takes a home, like a team-friendly deal and sticks with the Yankees? I could see it happening at this point just because of how bad his year has been, and now teams know he's volatile. He could have a good year. He could have a terrible year. You just don't know what version of Gleyber you're going to get. Do you think there's a world where we see him come back on a reasonable deal on a one-year contract?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you'll just have to look at it from the standpoint of does it make sense for him? Does it make sense for either party, right? Like, at this point, like, I don't know. Maybe Gleyber just needs a fresh start. I as you mentioned with first base, like, I'm willing to give Rice a chance. Now, if he struggles, I will go out and get a first baseman. Like, I'm pretty confident saying that. It's a six-week window. Is that great for a rookie? No, but, like, we'll see. In the infield, like, the problem is just, as you mentioned, like, the one team that, like, is really, really bad is, like, the Rockies, and you know they're going to sell, or they should sell, but they're stupid, so they won't trade McMahon. And then you look at some of the other teams, like, yeah, I think Ha-Seong Kim will be sick because he plays a great third base, and he plays a great second base, and he can hit a little bit. He's got speed. But he's on the Padres, and the Padres are, like, yeah, they're three games under 500 or two games under 500. Yeah, they're one game under 500, which they shouldn't. You would think, okay, so they're not really in it. No, they're, like, I think they occupy a wild card spot. They occupy a wild card spot. They're in a wild card spot, and they're below 500. What about the Giants, right? Like, they're four games under. Maybe, like, a Lamont Wade Jr., if you want to go get a first baseman. Yeah, they're four games under. They should be out of it, and they're 10 out of the back from the division. Well, guess what? They're not too far out of a wild card spot. They are tied in the loss column with the Padres, who are occupying a wild card spot. So, like, this entire NL is just a disaster, so I'm not necessarily sure who's selling. And then who are options, right? Like, who can you reasonably trade for? That's also a big question mark. If you don't believe in Gleyber, which I think I'm at the point where I'm starting to just kind of be like, you got to win the World Series. It is what it is. Gleyber, I don't think he's going to turn around. The Rays are not good, and, like, they're pretty realistic. They're pretty willing to sell, from my imagination. Brandon Lau would be sick as hell. Left-handed power bat. Like, that'd be so dope. You know, I don't know if, like, Luis Renjifo, like, I guess he's a guy, like, I don't love the lack of power, but, like, I guess if you were to have, like, Lau and Renjifo, like, dude, that'd be sick, your lineup's so much better. But then kind of the other big thing, and we haven't even touched on this yet, is the bullpen, man. Like, the bullpen sucks. I'd argue if you got one decent infielder, you'd be fine. You need a couple of arms. You need two arms in the bullpen. Whether that's adding a starter to move one of your starters to the bullpen, or adding two relievers straight up, need two. And, like, they need arms. Like, they're going to be arms out there, but they need arms, dude. Like, they need arms. I would love to see the Yankees, like, if they could find a way to, you know, bring in a power right-handed reliever, whoever that may be. I know that there are guys going to be out there. Hunter Harvey, somebody for the Nationals. I just think it makes so much sense for this team. But even they're in the playoff mix. So, God, nothing turning up our way right now. They need arms, dude. This middle of the bullpen's, it's an embarrassment. 10 runs after Heel comes out of the game from the bullpen, and then you just completely basically give away the second game because the bullpen couldn't do anything. Rob Manager couldn't stop a nosebleed, dude. Like, they need arms. They need arms bad.
Yeah, you could say that again. I mean, look, we're getting some value out of guys that should not be providing value, like Michael Tonkin, who's kind of a bad player career-wise, but having kind of a renaissance with the Yankees this season. The hope is you get Scott Efros back soon. The hope is you get, Lou Trevino back in a couple weeks, hopefully a couple months, more like his timeline now. When Cody Poti comes back from this triceps injury, guy's going to have to be a long-inning relief guy, a guy that can kind of come in and pitch multiple days in a row. He's a starter. He can pitch 6-7 innings, so if you need him for 2-3 days in a row, he can offer you an inning on each day. When Clark Schmidt comes back, maybe one of those starters goes to the bullpen. We'll see kind of what happens here. There's a lot of time in between now and then. So the Yankees do have reinforcements in the future, but can we survive that long? I think we can. It really is going to come down to turning this thing around. We have a really hard schedule right now. I think that's kind of what we're seeing, is the Yankees are grinding out a lot of really tough wins. I mean, look at their most recent schedule. They had the Giants, who are a decent team. The Twins are a good team. The Dodgers are a good team, great team. The Royals are a great team. The Red Sox are surging. The Orioles are phenomenal. The Braves are fantastic, or at least, were fantastic. They're still pretty solid. Then you have the Mets, who are red hot right now. And then you have Toronto, who's bad. Cincinnati, who's okay. And then Boston, Tampa, Baltimore before the All-Star break on July 15th. So, this is a gauntlet for this team, an absolute hellhole of a portion of the schedule. That's where we're seeing this team run into some issues. We're not going up against, like, the Orioles, and then the White Sox, where you get a nice little break. We're going up against some of the best teams back to back to back to back. And that's why this Yankee team is getting absolutely shredded right now, because we're having to win these close games. And our bullpen is really, what's happening now is not a regression because of talent. It's two things. The injuries obviously are major, but we're also getting our confidence battered. You know what I mean? I think that ultimately this team is lacking confidence because we're just getting the break speed off of us on a daily basis sometimes. And that's really problematic. I want to play the song, man. I just want to play the freaking song. That's all I want to do. And they won't let us play the song.
I also, like, I think end of the day, like, look, is the season over because the Yankees lost this series? No. Like, they still have the best record in baseball. They still actually lead the division. It's by half a game. So, you know, and the Orioles leading the loss column, that kind of thing. But, like, this is a long year. Like, the Yankees aren't done. It's not like they just got buried 5 games, 6 games back, and you're like, you got a mountain to climb. You got to start looking towards the wild card. Like, you still are atop the AL East. But for me, like, yeah, they just need to show, like, that they're not, they need to show. I mean, I feel confident they will go get guys, but there's no price I'm not willing to pay. Like, I know this is going to become a conversation. Yankees are, like, interested in Garrett Crochet, right? Like, if I can get him to bolster my rotation, dude, I don't care that you have to trade Spencer Jones. I don't. I love Spencer Jones. We had him on the podcast. Great dude. Great bat. Like I think the talent is there. He's had a great month of June. Alex, I want to win the World Series, right? Like, this is probably your best chance to win the World Series. You win the World Series, and, like, Alex, we could be here next year 5 games out of the division because the Orioles are leading the division. We're on pace for, like, 90 wins. And we're like, dude, we won the World Series. Who gives a fuck? Like, I couldn't care less. But, I'll have the banner sitting behind my head. I have, like, a replica ring on my finger. And when everyone goes, is the season over? Just point at that shit. I'll do that for 5 fucking years. I don't care. Winning a World Series is so important. It's so important. There's no value attached to it because it's immeasurable. There's no player, no prospect you wouldn't trade for a World Series. So, you know, I hope the Yankees adopt that mentality because they have in years past. And, you know, I hope that they do it again because I'm not settling for the second best player available at a position. If you need a first baseman, Christian Walker's available. Like, you have to go get him, right? Like, if a guy like Brandon Lau is available to upgrade in second base, I don't care what the sentimental attachment is to Gleyber. Like, that is a left-handed bat that will help you. You need that in your lineup. Absolutely need it. If a guy like, you know, I don't think this has happened, but if the Rays are even looking to move Isak Paredes, right? 140 WRC plus hitter. Look at the numbers, guys. Like, you at third base, absolutely. Like, don't even question it. You need to go get guys. Whoever the best player is available at third base, whoever the best player is available, you know, the best players available at the closing positions or the reliever positions, whatever you want to call it, go get them. Go get them. You have to go get the best guys you can. Like, you have to make this the best team you can because this is the team I think that can go win a World Series with the right upgrades.
Yeah, I mean, look, if it comes down to trying to get Garrett Crochet, who's a free agent in 2027, are you willing to trade Spencer Jones for 2 years of control, maybe extend Crochet beyond that? You know, lefty, tremendous arm, really great talent, 3.25 ERA this season. Good player. I mean, if not great player. Do you do it? You know, do you headline Spencer Jones as part of that deal? I think that it's a real conversation that we will have next month if it comes to it. But this team isn't in need of a starting pitcher. This team is in need of everything else, right? This rotation has been really good. Eventually, you're going to get Clark Schmidt back. Does Crochet help you? Absolutely. But it's not the most important need, I would say.
I just look at it as, like, you could move a guy to the bullpen. Like, if you were bringing Crochet, you can go, like, all right, Schmidt, you're just a reliever now. And Schmidt in a reliever, you remember in 2022.
Great.
He was dirty in that role. And now he'd be even dirtier. So I'm just pointing that out. I'm just ideas. Yeah,
yeah. Or, I mean, even when Schmidt returns, you could trade a starter.
Maybe get a bat. I don't know.
Even when Schmidt returns, we're going to have two guys in the bullpen. You know, you're going to have to push Cody Poteet, which definitely will go to the bullpen. And either Nestor or Clark. Like, one of those guys ends up in the bullpen anyway, if not Luis Gil, depending on how he fares after getting rocked yesterday. I think he'll be fine. Every pitcher has a performance like this. Obviously, that one was special bad, but I think Gil just didn't have it. You know, it happens to the best of them, and he's basically a rookie. So I am more than okay coughing that one up and saying it was an anomaly based on his trend this season. But, you know, this Yankee team, they have some exposing flaws, and I do believe that they will address them. The infield's going to be interesting because they do need a starter and a good one. They need a couple of key bullpen arms. So, you know, Ryan, at this point in time, I'd say this. I think we go try to get a good infielder, with an above-average bat. I don't know who that will be, but I do think it will be someone that can hold their own and be a, you know, 110 WRC plus type of guy. I hope. That would be great. Obviously, easier said than done. And then in addition to that, I do think we bring in two bullpen arms, you know, one of them being better and a guy that can really help this team and, you know, really kick it into another notch. And the other one being more of like a project, a guy that, you know, Matt Blake can get the most out of. So I do think that those are the best direction we go in. And the Yankees then eye Scott Efros's return. And then, of course, Ian Hamilton, the return of Cody Poteet, Clark Schmidt down the stretch, Gleyber Torres, you know, hopefully he's not too injured. We don't know what his diagnosis is just yet, and the right groin injury and how severe it is. And then you get Rizzo back, and hopefully Ben Rice takes a big step forward. I think this team will add two key players, one infield, one bullpen, and then another like project bullpen arm. If you had to project it right now, where do you think that our priorities lie in terms of who we actually get? Maybe not who, but what positions are actually addressed.
I'd say bullpen is a guarantee. Brian Cashman goes and gets relievers. He will go get guys. Like, Brian Cashman's not going to let this bullpen sit the way it is. Hunter Harvey, again, like, that's the guy for me. I think he's a stud. Tanner Scott, closing experience. Command was a bit of a problem early in the year, but if you just kind of take away the early season struggles, and the ERA was never bad, so like I guess you wouldn't call it early season struggles, I guess early season command struggles. You know, the numbers look pretty promising there. Andrew Nardi, same team, Marlins. If you take away his, I think it's if you take away his two outings in March, he has like a sub-3 ERA. He has like a 5 ERA in the year, but his underlying metrics are all great. Last year, 2.657 ERA. And he's a left-handed reliever who strikes out guys. All three of these guys miss bats, right? Like, that's the thing. They all miss bats. And if you can, I mean, if you could do, in my opinion, what I would say is like an ideal deadline. If you can go Andrew Nardi, Hunter Harvey at the deadline for your bullpen, lefty, righty, big power arms, strikeout guys, fastballs, big four-seam fastballs, good vertical movement up in the zone. You set up your bullpen where it's Holmes, Nardi, Weaver, Harvey, like some sort of situation like that. You know, Efros could come back and be a nice push for you. Tonkin, I think, is a dude. I think Tonkin could be like, if he's the sixth best reliever in your bullpen, I think he got something good going for you. You know, I still believe in somebody like a Tommy Canley or a Caleb Ferguson to do something for you. We'll see on that front. JT Brubacher is supposed to come back at some point during the year. We'll see. You know, he's on his rehab assignment alongside of Canley, alongside of Efros, so we'll see there. What I will say about Canley is he's missed bats. He has a 26% strikeout rate, so like that's in a 15.2% swinging strike rate. Like, he does miss bats. He's just, the command hasn't been there. Gets ground balls, so I'm not out on Canley. I'm not. Like, I'm still in to an extent. Like, the fastball velo is down, that's a concern, but I think he's just got to throw more secondaries. Just stop throwing that fastball. That shit sucks. No disrespect. Caleb Ferguson, like, I wrote about him. He had kind of gotten a little bit better, and now he's starting to, you know, just last two outings have not been as good, so, you know, maybe I'm fading a little bit on him. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. Just go get, like, Canley. Hopefully he has it, right? Hopefully Canley's quote-unquote got it, because, I don't know. I think Canley could do something for you. Efros can do something for you. But get two arms. Get me two bullpen arms. That's where my number one priority is. And then an infielder, as you mentioned.
Yep, has to be. But we'll see how things progress. You know, I wanted to give you guys kind of a State of the Union address in a way. Talking about the flaws of this team and where we need to address certain positions, but always happy to hear your thoughts down below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.
Perfect.